at the end of the day, I'm motivated by people. So I'm excited to help the people that I work with. If my job revolved around just staring at a screen and the screen telling me deadlines, I wouldn't care at all. If I needed to deliver something to someone because to help them do their job, etc., it just motivates me so much more. So I get out of bed to do good work and make a difference for people.
My name is Noah Omri Levin. You're listening to Digital Marketing Life, my podcast giving you access to the real life experiences, challenges, and triumphs of the incredible people across our industry. This week, I had the honor of sitting down with someone who brightens up every room she walks into. She's a powerhouse because she's not only an extremely talented marketing machine, but also a deeply reflective and an impressively emotionally intelligent human being. She is an unstoppable force of positivity. She is Erin Linson.
Welcome, Erin Linson, to Digital Marketing Life.
Hello! Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you joining us. And what I really want to do to start this off, because people don't know who Erin is, I'd love to draw a picture for folks a little bit. And then maybe you can tell us a little bit of, you know, how your story came to be. But one of the first things that we learned about Erin when she joined, when she was at Search Discovery, was that she had the nickname Sunshine. I would love, actually, if you shared, do you know why you got that nickname in the first place?
Well, okay. I was at a party in college and the cops showed up and I was underage. And we thought, oh God, we have to hide. So we ran up a staircase, shut the door, put a chair under the doorknob, and my friends and I ended up in the midst of like a recording, a very low-key recording situation. There was a guy recording a song, and he was like, oh, well, while I have all of you here, I'd like for you to sing the chorus of this song. This would be great. And we were like, okay. So the chorus of the song was Sunshine. And so he had everyone singing Sunshine, Sunshine. And he would make the movement with his arms to have us stop all at once because he was recording. And I was not paying attention. So at least once or twice, I screamed Sunshine all by myself. And after that party, whoever was in that room with us, after that would just scream Sunshine whenever they saw me. Yeah.
That's amazing. So the funny part though about that is that sounds like almost random, but the reality is that when people met you, it obviously stuck. And I think one of those reasons was that when you walked in a room, you brightened it up. You're always smiling, always bringing positivity to the table. And it really didn't matter what the situation was around you or like what you were walking into, that's just what you brought with you. So one of the questions I would love to ask and get a clearer picture of is like when you walked into a rough client meeting or you walked back to your desk after, you know, a stressful conversation, you still most of the time had that aura around you. How did you stay positive when you had high pressure or explicitly negative environments around you?
I think that's a great question. And some of it might be like, at the end of the day, I have expectations for myself. And so whether or not someone was rude or mean or something happened poorly, at the end of the day, I would sit down with myself and just want to be better. And some of that definitely included beating myself up, which you were always there to reassure me that I was doing a great job. But at the end of the day, it was just a lesson. And it always came back to just bettering myself. But just in terms of like client situations, I've learned over time to completely almost just ignore the drama that can take place on a client call or even in like an internal meeting, because the reality is, like, it's just not even needed. So I like to just stay on track. And this is what I like to bring to my team when I see them getting really stressed out, you know, about certain things. And at the end of the day, like, we're showing up to do a good job. And if you know that, then that's that. You're going to do your best and you're going to be honest. And like, nobody can be upset about that, you know?
This is exactly why I wanted to interview you, actually, because I think what Aaron doesn't recognize is that you have a superpower that so many people could learn from. I don't know how much you appreciate it, but it's such a powerful thing, because what you do is you have taken the time, right, to internalize and reflect upon who you are and who you want to be. And you have those expectations, and not a lot of people do that anymore. Like, that's just the world we live in, is people just don't take the time to do those things. And what that allows you to do is to have the confidence that regardless of what's happening in the circumstances around you, like, you're going to bring Aaron Linson to the table, and it doesn't really matter what somebody else does to you, or they say to you, or happens to you. You still have the power to bring that to the table, and you still will, and you'll do it in the face of anything. So I think, like, that is super important. It's really powerful. And for people of all backgrounds, like, we all need to be doing more of that.
I totally agree. So, and I don't even, like, I think it's just it's an attitude. It's been really interesting, like, managing people. And I'm helping them, like, manage their own feelings about their work, you know? And I think a lot of people, and probably one of the hardest things that I came in contact with in this career was, like, even just peers that were very ego-driven, and, you know, the way that they dealt with their insecurities was to just plow through things and kind of knock other people down. And I understand, like, the root of where that was coming from. I understand it was an insecurity, but I try to avoid doing that to anyone. I don't care if you just graduated college. I don't care if you graduated high school. You are probably brilliant, and I'm going to assume that, and I'm going to respect you, and just everyone build each other up. So, like, the way that I manage is to help avoid any, like, negative kind of behavior because of that relationship with the self, if that makes sense.
Totally. And you're creating also an environment in which people can really thrive, because if you're the manager, you're above anybody else in that situation. So you're setting the tone that, like, no, this is going to be a fun and positive environment.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to hear what you have to say.
Regardless of, like, your background or what. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Okay. That's amazing. See, I barely started and you're already, like, speaking wisdom to the world.
I love managing people. It's probably my favorite thing that I've, like, moved into in my career.
Let's go back a little bit. Let's start with Ignition One. What brought you into this industry in the first place? Like, how did you decide to go into digital marketing?
Funny fact, I never thought I was going to sit at a desk again. And I was actually told by two PR bosses. I studied PR in college and I did PR right out of college. And when I got fired from both of those PR jobs, both of them said, like, you do not belong at a desk. Like, I don't see you doing this. It's just not where you belong. And I hated PR. My brain cells died, like, day by day doing PR. So I was honestly at a huge crossroads right before I started doing digital marketing. And I had no idea, like, how I was to contribute to the world and how I was to make a living for myself. And one of my buddies had just kind of fell into it. And he said, just meet with somebody and just interview with the company and see how it goes. And it just fit. I remember having an interview with Sarah Giottina, my first boss, and she treated me like a human, and she wanted to work with me because she could just tell we would vibe well. And from that day forward, I just felt way more myself than I ever did in PR. because of like how smart everyone was, and I was just way more challenged and inspired. And you actually have answers in digital marketing and PR. You're just kind of throwing stuff up in the air and guessing and hoping that things land. But so my career in digital marketing, it started as a total like, oh, I'll try it. Who knows?
And so you spent a few years there, right? You were at Ignition One for a while. Ignition One, for anybody who isn't familiar, it was a paid media management platform, primarily strong in the paid search world. While you were there, were you an account manager? Were you working with clients and ramping them up onto the tool? What was your role?
Yeah, so I was on the media team there, and my sole purpose was to just deal with keywords and ads. So the way that the software worked is we were set up into totally different teams. There was a bid scientist team that actually dealt with spending the money and dealing with the bids. And then my team uploaded the keywords, uploaded the ads, did keyword restructures, et cetera. It was an amazing experience. I got to manage and build some massive accounts. And then at the same time, it was also really siloed. So when I was ready to move on and come to Search Discovery, I was definitely ready for something new. And Search Discovery was exactly the next step that I needed.
And that new thing, you were looking for just a broader experience? Or what were you attracted to in coming to Search
Discovery?
I had
heard good things. Somebody that I really respected, Carissa, she had just moved over to Search Discovery. And I trusted her. I just trusted everything that she did. I thought she was so smart. So I decided to go over there too. I got to work with the nicest, most amazing people on the planet. It launched me into where I needed to go to be able to actually like carry the narrative for accounts. Like at Ignition One, I was like a mini cog in a wheel, and I knew how to do this one thing really, really well. And then at Search Discovery, it was, okay, how do we make a difference for this client that you are speaking to? How do you make a difference for them, like, overnight? Yeah, and I was so scared. I remember coming to Search Discovery, and I dealt with, like, major confidence issues because I didn't trust myself to, like, handle all the levers because I wasn't familiar with, like, owning, you know, so much of a client. But, you know, Search Discovery gave me the freedom, and I was intimidated by that freedom. But then I learned over time and under you, like how to truly like service clients.
For the record, it was beside
no,
me. You weren't under
me. You were
me.
My mentor. I was. I texted you this the other day, but I would, if I had to choose any boss, it would either be you or my current boss. I can't imagine working for anyone else.
I appreciate that. I'm totally going to. Well, on a side note, I actually just saw Carissa. I was speaking for women at General Assembly in Atlanta at Ponce.
Oh, really?
And Carissa was taking a class, and she's like, do you know she's dancing now?
She has completely changed her life.
Yeah, but she's still taking like the skills that she has in the digital marketing world and applying it in different areas of her life as well. It's like an amazing thing to watch as people kind of, I mean, she was probably, as you said, one of the most talented, just awesome people in the space. And she still is, right?
Oh, she's
but
so smart.
She decided that she had this passion, she was going to go for it, and she's doing it. It's amazing.
She's going to excel in whatever she wants to do. That girl is amazing.
Yeah. You were at Search Discovery for a while, and you got that broader experience, it sounds like. But at some point, you decided to move to New York City and to work for VaynerMedia, for Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, the big shop, or... medium-sized shop. I don't know what you guys consider yourselves, up in New York City.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, I know a lot about the transition, but tell me a bit about the logic and what was going through your head in terms of that decision and switch.
It seemed to have happened overnight. It was something that I had always tried to do. Even when I was at Ignition One, I was hungry to see more of the world. I even applied to work in the Turkish office of Ignition One, but that didn't work out. I was even like learning Turkish at one point. And New York was what like a very common other option for any other agency in Atlanta. That was a goal of mine, was to eventually leave Atlanta. And I definitely threw a lot of feels out there, but when it happened, it came as such a surprise. And it was because I had seen Gary Vaynerchuk speak at a conference, and I loved him. His speeches are like, they just kind of just get you and shake you. So I posted about it. And I said, this guy was great. And Lee Elliott, who I used to work with at Response Mind Interactive, who was the reason why I went to Ignition One. I worked with him at Response Mind. I thought he was so brilliant. And I thought, okay, I've learned all I could learn here. I'm going to go where that guy came from now and see if I can learn what he learned. But I posted this Gary Vaynerchuk video, and he called me and said, you know, that's where I work now. I'm starting a new team, and I need a search person. And I was like, what? Okay. And I got on the phone with his boss. We talked for maybe 13 minutes, and he heard all he needed to hear, and he gave me a job offer right then and there.
That's awesome. Yeah. So there's a couple of things I heard there, and I think they're really powerful. So number one, a lot of your career so far has been through your networks, and I think that you've connected to people. I think you make a positive impression on people, as we mentioned before. And
thank you.
You've kept in touch with them. And one of the things that's opened up for you in connecting to the different folks and keeping those conversations and relationships going is that different opportunities pop up because of it, right? So like you literally just posted something online and somebody reached out to you and basically shortly after gave you a job offer.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. It's like you typically hear, let's apply for jobs on LinkedIn. And then hopefully, you know, like if somebody's looking to switch roles, it's not exactly how they go about
doing it. No, it's all about networking. My second PR job I got because of Twitter. Like single-handedly, it was because of Twitter.
Well, how did that happen?
There was a girl that became my Twitter friend in LA. We were both PR chicks, posting a lot of the same stuff and retweeting industry PR stuff. We ended up going to the same event once and became friends. A spot opened up at her company and she referred me. So it all started because we found each other on Twitter.
That's amazing. And this is the type of thing, like I just wonder if the heads of Publicis and WPP, like that are sitting in whatever offices they're sitting in, if they realize just the way things are going down amongst like our peer group, amongst people of our age groups, you know, like 25 to 35 even, just in terms of how we're communicating with each other and how we're connecting, like the fact that that's happening is just mind boggling.
Oh yeah. And I think just in terms of like, I swear I would be such a good recruiter if I actually wanted to do it. I would be so good at it. But and I think about the recruiting programs and I think like, are they getting as creative as they can get right now? I don't think so.
Great. Hey, Aaron's journeys have not
ended. No, I don't want to do that.
The other thing I wanted to highlight of that is just when you talk about going to see Gary speak. So I think if anybody's following him in any way whatsoever, they're getting a taste of that. And some people are really turned off by him at first, just because either he's vulgar or they think he's overly mm-hmm. confident. But and that happened to me too. Like I was at first like, oh, whatever, this guy's just super loud. And so everybody's totally listening to him. And then you listen to him and he says this himself, right? Like you listen to him and then all of a sudden you realize the message that he's saying is true. And he's really out for his legacy and for the good of all the people that are working with him and that are out there in his own way, obviously. Right. And then it's like magnetic. Was there anything specific that you remember about the event that you were like, oh, this is my guy?
I think the thing that he preaches that touches me the most is just self-ownership. Anyone could get up and give great advice and say this and say that, but he just gets to the core of it and just shakes you a little bit. You're like, oh, shoot, I should have thought about it this way. But I think a lot of people are turned off by like his approach or like his tone. But if you, something that I've really appreciated about him is that though he's like that, his message makes room for any kind of personality. He just wants people to believe in themselves at the end of the day. Like, that's all he really cares about. And it's funny because, like, I saw him speak and I asked my friend Lee, I said, okay, you either love your job and love him or you're miserable. It's like one of two things. So tell me which one it is. And he was like, no, it's great. I love it here. And it was refreshing to start at Vayner. And I walked in expecting a bunch of Garys, but it's a bunch of humans. So many different kinds of personalities. There's even this one girl, India, that works really closely with him. And she reminds me of Daria. You know that cartoon from back in the day when like the volleyball came and she's like, I think I got it. Like, she's so low-key, and Gary appreciates her for who she is. And that says a lot about him. Like, for someone that's coming in that hot and, like, screaming and all about it, he can still make space and appreciate, you know, talent when he sees it. And he respects people a lot.
Let's talk about a couple more personal things. So today, what's your role
today
officially?
I am a supervisor of digital media at VaynerMedia in New York City.
And are you focused mostly on paid search, or are you doing
everything across the board? Paid search remains to be my number one love. When someone in our agency has a paid search question, I'm the person that they come to. But I manage accounts that run across everything, even out of home at this point. Yeah, it's crazy.
So cool. That's great. Have there been, or is there one that you can remember, a big challenge that came up at some point in your career?
I'll be totally honest. Earlier when I was talking about the personalities and the egos coming in real hot and like that being probably the biggest challenge, I would say it's that. And it can come from men or women. Something that's just like top of mind for everyone right now is women inequality and balancing respect in the workplace between genders. It's something that Vayner talks about a lot. And my boss, Lee Elliott, actually has fostered at least two or three group conversations around women's issues involving men as well. And the last one that we had, he actually asked me to lead it. Which I was like, why? He was like, because you have to. Like, who else is going to do it? You're the perfect person to do this. It was such an interesting conversation. And I'm not saying my greatest challenge is working with men, because that is definitely not my greatest challenge in the workplace. But there are certain personalities out there that I've seen come from only men. if I could like paint the picture of this personality, it's just like this flaming hot ego. And it's like a dragon trying to breathe fire on everybody. And for me personally, like I shut down in situations like that. So it's really hard to be myself in those situations. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. So the discussions we've been having about like gender equality in the workplace and how to work well together have been really, really interesting. And it's something that I've even considered making a podcast about, because I've been to a few women's conferences and I'm baffled about like the things, like the topics that we talk about. And I think the topics are almost in response to what my biggest challenge has been in my job. And what I have found at these talks that I go to, it's the first thing that's addressed at these like women talks is like confidence. It's like one of the main things that's always talked about. And I was like, okay, do we have to start there? Like, are we starting from a place of like having a deficit, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting you say, because I was just at this event, right? And I had quoted this statistic. So I was speaking to a group of women, and two guys in the back, and it was a women in technology panel. And I just quoted this statistic that they say that they've done some studies where it showed that if a guy had 60% of the qualifications for a job, he'd yep. apply, but women need nearly 100% to apply. So it's a lot of the conversation is around, okay, so what do we do about that? You can't exactly take those personalities. Those are the exact personalities on the men's side that you're not going to be able to, you know, have tone it down. So the only reaction is let's push the confidence level up on the women's side.
Exactly.
And so then the conversation is like, how do we get women to be more confident? I what I'm most interested in here is your response to that and what you've done personally, like overcome those challenges. Like you're in front of one of these fire breathing dragon dudes, and what do you do about it? One of the things that I've seen work, not that I'm at all an expert in this, but it is just an interesting thing that came into play. And I've been coaching a couple of people through similar situations, has been not to distract oneself from the situation, but to focus on the actual goal of the conversation. So if
exactly.
there's a fire breathing dragon dude coming in and like, you can come in. So before I give you that, why don't I'd love to hear more about from your perspective, because like this is more real for you. What do you do when that happens?
So this is the really interesting thing, is that the talk that I led, we talked about a number of women's issues. You know, we talked about, you know, feeling respected and stuff like that. I forget the topics that we went over, but we had a discussion going for about 20 minutes, and then I just went off on this tangent and I was like, why do we have to talk about confidence? Like, why are all these women's talks always starting from this point? So I basically brought up the concept of like having confidence and learning how to be confident in yourself. And that is when the discussion just took off from both ends and the guys actually started joining in. And it was so interesting because it was basically a lot of guys, even the ones that I could say, like part of them have this fire breathing ego inside of them, every single one of them admitting that they also have a lack of confidence. And it was so interesting for them to, it was so important to me that was the point of the conversation, that everyone joined in, because we can all understand what that feels like. In a way, it made us all feel equal. And like, that's the whole goal of this entire, why we talk about these things, why we have these meetings. The whole goal is for us to feel equal. And I think it's so important to join the men in these conversations and agree upon something, and having an equal opinion or an equal understanding fosters equality. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, it definitely makes sense. It's a great way of looking at it, because yeah, like I've actually been very thankful that I've been allowed to like join these conversations at all. Right?
No, guys should join.
I completely agree, and I've been vocal about it, because albeit it feels like a dangerous thing to do, not because of anything logical, but because like when you have mass hysteria. I don't know if you've listened recently, like Malcolm Gladwell just did a podcast on this, but when there's mass hysteria, like scapegoats and people just get crushed for no reason whatsoever, regardless of like the merits of them being crushed yeah. under it. So when somebody raises their hand and says something slightly controversial or gets caught off guard, you can get in a lot of trouble. So you've got like the Me Too movement and all of this stuff going on. And so like us guys, a lot of us are like, oh, okay, I will wait until this passes, but I would really love to help. I just am terrified that I'm going to get destroyed if I say anything.
No, yeah, so I understand.
It's the same problem. Like, we don't have the confidence to do it because we're worried about something, right? So, like, it switches gears in that what we really need to do is realize that, like, over the history, like, we've had the benefit of men have been the majority of people in mm-hmm. the industry, maybe not in the marketing as much. Like we, there's a lot of women in that space, but for sure in technology and definitely in digital overall, and definitely in leadership. But the reality is you're not going to take a account coordinator or a supervisor and just pop them up to like CEO of WPP. That's just not going to happen. But what we can do is, as you said, like encourage and foster the environments that need to be there and have more open, transparent, honest conversations that will expose the fact that, like, we're all just trying to figure it out.
Totally.
And nobody really has full confidence. And, like, when a dude goes and just pushes through, that's more of a behavioral thing that is a tendency of people with certain behavioral characteristics that are just more driven, and they problem solve by just going for it and steamrolling the situation. Is that what's actually going on internally?
I think what that meeting made me realize is that everyone has different responses to stress and lack of confidence. It was so helpful to hear all that. And also, just as a female, one of the only female leads, like, at least in my department, for someone that has, like, I would define myself as having a pretty soft approach. I'm not very aggressive. I'm not very loud. I'm not very, I don't push anyone over type of thing. It's been really interesting to be a lead for all of the females who might be navigating this space. What I tell them regularly is, like, find your voice. Just be yourself. Like, don't try and be anyone else to get respect. Be completely 100% yourself. And I'm proof that I'm gaining respect by being myself. I'm not being a bitch. I'm not, you know, steamrolling over anyone to try and match someone else's confidence, etc. And that's been really interesting for me to navigate as well, because finding my own confidence in myself to guide these women and trusting my voice. And I'm not going to be loud, or, you know, I'm going to be myself and I'm going to say exactly how it is. I find when I approach people like that and when I lead discussions like that, it just kind of, it softens everything. And everyone is just more themselves, I guess.
Yeah, that's your superpower. That's what we said at the beginning. Like, you've taken the time to reflect on who you want to be.
Yeah, I guess.
And so you just make sure you get in touch with that and you continue on that goal. And that comes back to what I was saying a little bit about the solution to this confidence issue, because it is a real thing. Like, the confidence, women, in order to overcome those challenges, women, and be enabled to overcome those challenges, what women need to do is to have a certain thing that gives them the ability to behave in the way that's not out of touch with who they
are,
but is behaving from a place of confidence. And that, I think, is what you're showing, is that's not a, I'm going to become the fire breathing steamroller. It's no, I am going to know who I am, and I'm going to act towards that, the vision of who that person, what that person would do in this situation, who that person's going to be. And that is the type of confidence we want. We don't want people to be just learning how to be men with higher voices. Like, no, that's not what we're talking about here.
Exactly. And I think there's so many different personalities. Mine is like a certain tone. But what I like to do, and like women need to do this with each other, that this is something else that is talked about very commonly in these women discussions, is to support each other. Like, there's room for everyone. And the way I like to talk about that, just in terms of how I manage and when I'm equal with another woman and there might be a competitive vibe, I always meet it with championing them and celebrating them. It doesn't waste any energy. It brings positivity. It doesn't knock me down a notch. It doesn't, you know, it at least when it comes to like the competition thing, I've learned that celebrating and championing someone goes way further than any kind of like self-comparison. I have to do better, blah, blah, blah. Those are toxic feelings. And then when it comes to managing people, championing them, it also just sets the tone for how everyone treats each other, you know, because at the end of the day, I see them as, I'm managing them, but they're my peer. I have brainstorms with them. I care about how they think, what they say, what their ideas are. And I want to champion them and I want them to champion me. So that's sort of how I deal with like the other side of that coin that's often talked about, which is like, oh, the comparison game because of confidence and blah, blah, blah. I say we just celebrate each other.
I couldn't agree more. I have three more questions.
Okay.
The first one is, what makes you thrive? What gets you excited to jump out of bed in the morning?
My dog. Other than my dog, I am excited to, I'm motivated by people. At the end of the day, I'm motivated by people. So I'm excited to help the people that I work with. At the end of the day, like, if my job revolved around just staring at a screen and the screen telling me deadlines, I wouldn't care at all. If I needed to deliver something to someone because to help them do their job, et cetera, it just motivates me so much more. So I get out of bed to do good work and make a difference for people.
Okay, this is the harder cool. one.
Bring it.
You've had a couple different switches. Many, it seems that when you switched from PR to Ignition One, you were looking for something that was completely different and much more fulfilling. When you switched from an Ignition One to Search Discovery, you wanted to broaden yourself and get a deeper experience. And when you switched from SDI to Vayner, it was also to go even further to broaden not only the experience on the career side, but a life experience to get to New York City to kind of experience a big agency and in a lot of different ways, broaden yourself even more. Now the question is, what's your vision moving forward?
Yeah.
What's your vision for your career? And are you looking to continue to broaden yourself, or will it be something totally different?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's something that I've started to have more insight into, just in terms of where I want to go. And Vayner is perfect for me right now in terms of, like, I love the way that you talked about my path and like how each step brought me more and more. And Vayner is giving me exactly what I wanted. I don't feel that need to jump again. I don't feel the need for like, okay, cool. Now I have this. Now I need this. Like, now I'm going to go to Publicis or whatever. I don't have that feeling. So I've become aware probably in the last maybe 3 or 4 months that as far as agency life goes, this is where I'm going to stay. Now, so I know the answer to that. Like, I don't want to go to another agency. I'm confident about where I'm at right now with that and the support I have and the people that I'm managing. But the next question that I'm asking myself is like, how do I want to continue to help? Something that I've been thinking about maybe only for the last month or so is product. At the end of the day, and a lot of search people are like this, at the end of the day, like, we like being in the weeds. We are masochists. We like the torture. And I like, my favorite thing to do is a search restructure, which is basically getting down to the nitty-gritty of the form and function of how your search campaigns are going to operate. I like being in that place, like where the moment that something is made, just in terms of like what interests me, that's what makes me think product or like software development could be interesting. And I also realized just earlier today, I realized that as somebody that works on different advertising platforms, anytime that I've had the opportunity to work with a product team, I've always raised my hand and I've always wanted to have meetings with them and give them tons of ideas on how they could make it better. So I think I could be of a really, really good product person. I feel like I'm a good listener too. Like, I could work well with the developers, but then I could also talk to a ton of people that are using the tool and help shape, you know, brilliant technology. But that's just something that I'm milling over. I haven't decided on that one yet, but it's really fun to think about. I also know that I love people, and I think I would be really, it'd be fun to do, like, somebody at my company the other day was like, what if you joined HR? And I was like, don't think I'm ready to do that. But it would be really fun. I would love to help people, but I think I'm too project driven to go into like a fully therapeutic role. I feel like I would be a therapist.
Sure. Do you have anything like well beyond? So you're talking kind of like next step there. Is there anything that like all of this is building towards? You're gathering up the sticks to build this larger building that's to come. Do you have a vision for that at all, or is that still forming?
Still forming, but if I try to envision like a fantasy title in the next 4 or 5 years, it'd be so fun to like work at Google and be the product lead for some wacky thing. So it might start off, if I do go the product route, it'll certainly start off in the ad tech world. Once I start that journey, you know, what am I going to be hungry for there? Am I going to be inspired by different industries? Am I going to want to make a difference in a totally different way, because product can lend itself to everything, basically anywhere where there's technology. It's fun to think of that too, but I'm not sure if I want to do it.
Okay. Well, good news is you don't have to decide
it's
right
fun
now.
To think about.
I love to put something out there, and even if it's 30, 20, 10 years in the future, and just try it on and then like explore what I'm doing now and how it builds towards that thing, knowing that like tomorrow you can just take it off, try something else on. But sometimes it puts a new twist on what you're doing now and how it's going to contribute. And when you look back at what you've done and how it led you to where you are today, you can't really plan for it, right? Like the different experiences and clients and people and skills that you build up, it's an adventure that you can't really plan, but you can always sort of shoot for something and then see how it guides you. One last question, and then I will let you go. I would love to hear, after so many different experiences, what advice do you have for other people in the space, whether they're just starting out or even if they're just where you are today and listening to this, what advice do you have for them?
Oh, that's such a great question. I at least want to give advice to the people that just graduated and are maybe a year or two into their first job. And I want to give this advice because I needed to hear it when I was in PR. But when you start your first job, you're like, okay, this is how this goes. This is how this works. And I'm just going to do it. And I didn't know the warning signs to know that I was like so unhappy in that career. To the youngsters out there, the brilliant minds that might just be starting out in the world, you're supposed to want to get up every day. You're supposed to really enjoy your boss. You're supposed to be passionate and like your work. And it's going to be really hard. Don't deny that. It's going to be very challenging, but you'll learn to crave the challenge. That's the reason why I jumped from job to job, is I wanted more and more challenge. But by all means, if you're not happy, change it. So that's definitely the first piece of advice. And something to just go, I guess, to piggyback off of that is to always be honest. In that case, with yourself, if you're unhappy, be really honest with yourself. But then also just in any line of work, something that I teach my my analysts and also to not shy away from is to be 100% honest. It goes a long way and you gain a lot more respect that way. And I would say, yeah, that's it. And if you're like 10 years into your career, you're a hero. You're my hero. I think you're amazing.
Erin Linson, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for joining the podcast and for joining us on Digital Marketing Life.
Thank you. It's been such a good conversation, as always. Such a good conversation with you.
What an awesome conversation. Let's recap it. First off, you might be wondering about the following. Did Erin ditch me and run off to New York to work for Gary Vee? Yes. But look at how awesome that has been for her and the amazing opportunities she has had because of it. Was I supportive of it at the time? Absolutely. And here's why, which is also a message for all of the managers out there who have free spirits working for them. Appreciate the time you get with great employees, but also make sure you're enabling them to spread their wings. It may seem like a loss and that you've got to try to convince them to stick around, but when you create an environment where the people around you are thriving, even if there's turnover, everyone's better off for it. At the top, Erin shared her secret to her positivity. She has spent the time exploring herself, building up self-awareness, and setting clear expectations for herself. She also seeks out and surrounds herself, where possible, with supportive people, and on top of that is always actively working on bettering herself. So instead of letting rough, fire-breathing dragon personalities rear their heads at her, she walks in a room with a glow of creative confidence. She knows what she is working to create in her life, and by focusing on creating it versus reacting to that which others create, her energy is the one that ends up filling the room. Speaking of support, Erin shared her advice for others, which, if you are listening closely, was a theme through her entire career and life. She shared that she often tells her team, "Find your voice, be yourself." But isn't that exactly what we just said about her personality? And didn't she also share that what attracted her to Gary Vee in the first place at that speaking engagement was his focus on self-ownership? And it doesn't stop there. It happens to be that Lee Elliott, the guy who stole her from my team, and even I, the people that she gravitated towards throughout her career, are huge believers in this as well. Maybe, just maybe, we're on to the main ingredient of her superpowers. Finally, we talked about visions for our careers and how allowing ourselves to take an idea of a direction we may want to go and try it on was particularly empowering. Instead of attributing significant weight to the idea, allowing ourselves to switch visions like we switch outfits in the morning brings a certain lightness and freedom to a conversation that can often leave us feeling limited or pressured into committing to something. In reality, our visions rarely play out the way we had planned, but shooting for something often opens the door that lead to better opportunities. I'm so thankful to all of you for helping to spread the word and story about yet another incredible person in our industry. There's more where this came from, so subscribe, go to iTunes on your desktop right now or on your phone and rate us 5 stars to help us reach more folks with these stories. You can follow me at Noah Omri Levin on LinkedIn and Instagram. This is Digital Marketing Life.